Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Would you please be seated? One never knows how the readings are going to impact the sermon. I'm talking today about how important it is to name and to name things rightly. And in our first lesson today, Latricia Spain did an excellent job of naming that passage rightly. Some parts of the Old Testament are meant to be comedy and farce, and they are meant to be read that way in church. So thank you. I appreciate that very much. Now, when it comes to naming, there's a specific insect that often comes to mind for me when I think about naming and how important it is. How many of you played with roly-polies growing up? Lots of hands, yes. I played with roly-polies growing up. Georgia and Jenny have loved roly-polies growing up. Roly-polies are adorable. It's in the name. They are roly, and they are poly. But much to our surprise, when we lived in the United Kingdom, we saw some on the sidewalk outside of our flat, and we pointed them out to some English friends who immediately reacted with disgust. But they're roly-polies, we said. No, apparently in the United Kingdom, they call these cute, adorable little insects not roly-polies, not things that emphasize how fun they are to play with, but they call them wood lice. That makes a difference. No one in the United Kingdom likes roly-polies because a wood louse is no fun to play with. It's hard to take something's side when the very name we use to describe it elicits disgust. So we're going to start with our second lesson today. And we're going to start with a world that is aligned against the early Christians. Now, Paul names aspects of this world towards the end of our lesson, both bad things and bad powers. So bad things, hardship, distress, persecution. Now, we just need to remember that the Jews, including the Jewish Christians, were all cast out of Rome not too long ago and are just now making their way back. Persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. In the very center of Roman political power, the Roman Christians had to walk a very fine line. Why? Because they proclaimed Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior, when the Romans already had decided that Caesar was Lord and Savior. So bad things aligned against the early Christians, but also bad powers, created entities that align themselves against God. He named some of them: death, angels, rulers, things present, things to come, powers, height, depth, anything else. In Paul's letter, we have a sense that there is more than just individuals acting in relationship with God. That there are these powers, these larger things that are also aligned against God. We have this in the book of Revelation, where it talks about the angels of the churches. Like, there's a spiritual reality to each of these churches, one that can be aligned towards God or away from God, and that can be redeemed. Now, the problem with an enemy like this, one that has aligned itself against God and against the early Christians, is it starts to name the Christians things that they don't like very much. Did you know that the Romans thought that we were cannibals? That we went into our houses and ate little children? This is because we talked about the Eucharist as the body and blood of Jesus. These names are things that we start to take on. And so you can see kind of in this first lesson some concerns that the Romans might have had. Concerned about being spiritually weak or not praying as they ought. Concerned about the random things that happen, like really, do all things work together for good? They're worried about being charged as sinners. They're worried about being condemned. In this time period, the world as they knew it was aligned against them. So whose side is God on? Now, I think most of us have a sense that there are powers in the world that are aligned against human thriving, our thriving. Now, I don't mean human powers that are aligned against other groups of humans. I'm going to make that distinction. I mean spiritual powers that are aligned against humanity itself. These are the principalities and powers that Paul talks about throughout his letters. And these powers, with a capital P, take the normal route of power, with violence. They divide and they conquer. There's plenty of physical violence in our world, but there's another type of violence that uses words to divide. The violence that calls a roly-poly a woodlouse. Naming can be used to establish relationship, to distinguish within the unity of a greater whole. But some naming that we human beings do has blame built right in. And the powers are expert at this. Now, we all know about blaming others. If you're on one of our two political teams, you know exactly how this goes. You know the blame the other side levels against you and your team, and you know the blame your side levels against the other. The very way that we name these things has blame baked right in. But then in the context of our world, we human beings tend to take that blame inside when we accept those blame names for ourselves. When we start defining ourselves and who we are through blame of others or blame of ourselves. This is destructive to our very souls. The powers, these spiritual forces, are aligned against human thriving. And sometimes it seems like God is aligned against human thriving too. Now we get asked this all the time. Whose side is God on? We ask this in our own ways all the time. And some of our Christian siblings make the claim that God is so consumed with worry about his own glory that he is only on one side, his own. The rest of us can go wherever we want to. So this is an important question to ask. Whose side is God on? And I think in our lesson from Romans today, St. Paul told the Roman Christians emphatically that God takes humanity's side against these blaming principalities and powers. They're concerned about spiritual weakness. St. Paul says the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Concerned that we're not praying as we ought. He says that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. The random things that happen to them, he says all things work together for good, really does mean all things. Being charged with sin, he says, well, the one who can charge you is God, and it is God who justifies, who puts us in the right. Afraid of being condemned, well, it is Christ Jesus who can do the condemnation. Only he has the right to condemn, and he chooses to intercede for us instead. This is an act of naming. Justification means to put someone in the right. God looks at us. He looks at everything that we've ever done, everything that we ever will do. And instead of saying woodlouse, he says roly-poly. He justifies us. He puts us in the right. And Paul situates this in a cosmic understanding of how God does this, that these people who've been chosen, which is us, everyone is being called by God, called, justified, glorified. And we talk about this in our inclusion in Christ. When we are baptized, we become Christ. We are in Christ in such a way that his life becomes our life. His death becomes our death. His resurrection becomes our resurrection. His ascension, our ascension. So just like he was called at his baptism at the Jordan, in Christ we are called. Just like he was justified by God on the third day when he was resurrected from the dead, in Christ we too are justified. Just as he was glorified to the Father's right hand, in too we are glorified. So we can say with St. Paul, if God is for us, who really is against us? Nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. In everything, in every circumstance, in Christ, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And St. Paul underlines it, "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord." God takes our side. God names wood lice, renames wood lice, roly-polies, and so we can rename ours as well. In Christian theology, we have this word called providence. This comes from Latin, pro means before, vide means to see. Providence is God's somehow orchestrating all things because he sees everything in advance. St. Paul uses a verb form of this in the Greek when he talks about God foreknowing, being able to see things, and therefore choosing the way he chooses. And the thing about God is that God is not just malicious power. God is not capricious. God is love, which means that all things work together for good. And God chooses in advance to take humanity's side, causing and allowing those things that work together for good. A slight theological parenthesis here. I am not making a global claim about why there is evil in the world. It's not what we're doing. We are naming what is true and trying to figure out what that means. But the truth of the matter is that God is love, and in each of our lives is working these things for good. And the fact that God brings good out of evil does not somehow make the evil good. There are still evil things, still genuinely evil things in the world. This is important for us because we're not saying that the bad thing that happened that is genuinely evil is somehow good because God is bringing good out of it. That God can bring good out of evil says everything about God and nothing about the evil that he is redeeming. But most of what we think makes a bad day, though, lives right between our ears. I get stopped at a red light when I'm in a hurry. Woodlouse. Right? I trust that God allowed this frustration so that with his help I could bring the fruit of patience and prayer into the world, and I learn to leave a few minutes earlier next time. Roly-poly. My alarm doesn't go off. I get angry at it and at myself, wondering what fresh horror awaits me when I'm late to work. Woodlouse. I trust that God allowed this slip up so that I could notice something about my nighttime routine or about how I deal with it when self-blame seems like the only option. I learn and I make a change. Roly-poly. You can fill in the blank with the things that annoy or frustrate you only because you've learned to name them a specific way. But when we realize that God takes our side, that nothing can separate us from his love, then we can receive just about anything, knowing that what intends to bring evil into the world through me can be turned by God to bring good into the world instead. So whose side will you take? Will you take your own side against God, blaming God for the woodlice in your life? Or will you take your own side with the God who has taken your side in Jesus Christ and choose to bring good into the world instead? And if you take the side of the God who takes your side in Jesus Christ, who else's side will you take? Will you let God transform your blaming, your naming others by their guilt? Will you allow God to transform that into grace? So that's my challenge for you this week. Find one woodlouse in your life and rename it a roly-poly. This is what God does for you, for me, for each one of us in Christ. He takes our side. So go. Take something else's side. Name something new this week. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.